Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio with Stone Payton and John Baker. John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. And now, get ready for Biz Rocket Radio. Here's Stone Payton and John Baker.
Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio. This is John Baker, and my cohort, Stone Payton, is not in today, but Alan is filling in here on the mic to add some color commentary.
Hi, thank you very much.
How you doing, Alan?
I'm doing great. I've had a very busy week.
Really?
Yep.
How's that?
Well, I don't know if you know, but I'm a real estate agent.
I do know that.
And
absolutely.
The months of December and January were like dead as a doorknob. I was sitting on my hands and I was thinking like, oh man, what am I going to do? All of a sudden, second week in February, the weather just got a little bit warm and I got swamped.
Really?
I got four under contract and two or three more in negotiation, and
wow,
I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off.
Now, are these foreclosures, or are they actual sales, or are they actually dealing with a seller that's not a bank?
Well, I do all of the above. One of them's a short sale, one of them's a foreclosure, one of them's from a regular owner.
Yeah.
And let's see, I forgot what the other one was. It's just another traditional sale. So they're all over the board.
All right. So I need to go back and make sure that everybody knows that the economy is getting much better. We are turning the corner on housing because Alan's got some work.
I think first quarter of 2011 so far is going good. Let's keep up that momentum.
All right. Well, that's good stuff. Hopefully we can get the same news from our guest today. Biz Rocket Radio is a show where we get a chance to interview and talk to executives and business owners, learn from their successes, also learn from their challenges. And today we have Cheryl Weldon, who is the president of Travel and Cruise Professionals.
Thank you. Welcome in. Thank you. Thank you. Great to be here. And
so,
very exciting news with the news from the housing market. And I can also tell you the news is good from the travel market.
Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Cheryl, tell us a little bit about your background. I know that you've won some awards in travel. I know that you started traveling at a fairly young age.
Yes.
Give us a little background on you.
Well, my passion for travel came early. I'm a minister's daughter, and at the age of seven, I embarked on my first transatlantic European trip with my father and members of his congregation. And we did, back in those days, we did 14 countries in 13 days.
Oh, my God. That is a brave dad taking a seven-year-old on that.
Yes, and my brother, who was 11. And we have a lot of fun memories of that first trip. You know, maybe folks in the audience would remember when you had the flash cubes on the old cameras, and I'll never forget my brother and I having an argument over at the area where Napoleon's tomb is, and we were arguing over the flashbulb because
the little square one on the top.
Yes, absolutely.
It burned out after you used it.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And so
ourselves.
we were down to the last flashbulb, and I was determined it was going to be my shot.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the bulb ended up on top of Napoleon's tomb below us. And security escorted my father and my brother and I out of the area. But yeah, we had a lot of fun. Good memories of those trips, early trips. But so the bug bit me early, and I moved on to through my college career, and you know, really was searching for what I wanted to do long term, and my first opportunity became a sales position in the car rental industry. And so from there, I actually worked on the travel supplier side for all of my career until within the last year, and had some exciting news and time to be able to buy my own business and fulfill a dream that I've been wanting to do for a long time. So it's been a great journey along the way. I've had the opportunity to, you know, have honors, was named by Travel Agent Magazine to be one of the most powerful women in travel, and that was very exciting to be in that, held in that high regard. And so it's been a great journey, and going to the retail side has been very, very good for me. That's really where my heart is in working with consumers and individuals in helping fulfill their travel dreams, as well as put together some very unique group trips, which is an area that we'll get into, I'm sure.
So you've been in the travel business for a long time then. And
my entire career.
Your entire career.
Yep.
So this is obviously a passion that you've kind
it
of
is.
Held. You know, one of the things that I've always wondered about is what do you think drives people to travel? Because in my business, I talk to people all the time about their goals and their dreams and things that they want to do. And certainly one of the number one responses is travel. Why is it such a passion for
we
people?
We want to, you know, innately we're explorers. I mean, that was, you know, particularly as Americans, and I would say even Europeans yearn to travel, and they make more of their appropriation of their budget to travel than Americans, by the way, interestingly enough. But, you know, we yearn.
I think they have more time for it, too.
Well, they do.
They're 4 weeks or something.
They do. They have more time as part of their corporate environment. But they also are much better about appropriating a certain amount of their income to go towards travel, which is very different than Americans, very different. And I learned that when I was, you know, doing a lot of market research in some former positions. Having said all that, you know, we're curious. I mean, human nature is curious. We're very, you know, we want to understand how the other parts of the world work, and we want to see for ourselves. It's great. The internet has opened up so much for us, and so much of what we are able to see, things, you know, we watch the news all the time, and, you know, we're able to see a lot of things happening, but until we're there ourselves, we really don't get it, you know. And as I was just describing, if you've not ever been to Napoleon's tomb, you may not have an understanding of what I was just describing, but I can actually, because I was there at 7 years old, and because of that horrific incident,
where you dented and damaged the tomb that's been there for.
but I can actually visualize that museum and where we were, and that's, you know, that's it, you can't replace it. You really can't. And I think that's what is the beauty of selling travel to people, and just really helping them have opportunities. And today, more than ever, with the ability to go in a group and have an opportunity to see things at a much less expensive way is a big part of our business and a big part of what I believe in. And, you know, even though I was laughing about 14 countries in 13 days, and the trips are not like that anymore, but the fact of the matter is, as a 7-year-old, gosh, I had such a broad view of the world, even as a young person, and went on to, you know, my father took trips every other year, so I literally had been almost around the world by the time I was in high school. So, you know, it's just that kind of experience and that kind of knowledge of the world is just not replaceable. I mean, you can't look it up on the internet and get the same sense. You can't. You just can't. So.
Yeah. What tell me a little bit about the areas that you specialize in, because
sure.
In discussions we've had, and it was really interesting to hear what your niche is,
yes.
What you seem to have a very good success rate with.
Well, and you know, I tried to position the 21st century travel agency, and that's what I really would like for the audience to understand what makes a travel agency today different than a travel agency of yesterday. And the fact of the matter is, it's all about knowledge, and it's all about using that knowledge to enable your business. Mm-hmm. And because we are in a very unique situation with the business that I have, we have knowledge-based staff, and that's really key. You really can't hire someone who has never really traveled and put them in an hourly position and say, when someone calls and they want to go on an African safari, you'll sell it to them.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so the business is really about having knowledge-based positioning. And we have that. And we focus on the things that we know. And the things that we know kind of fall into some very unique categories. And so you know, it creates an opportunity for us to really focus on those and go out and get the message in our customer base as well as to referral base what we do. We have travel specialties in Africa. We have travel specialties in Europe, and specifically in Italy. We have two agents who've spent a lot of time actually doing independent travel activity in Italy. And so they literally can put together a trip where they can tell you, okay, your next day, you're going to go to this train station, you're going to go here, and you're going to get off on this train stop, and literally get you everywhere you need to be, kind of scripted independently. That's unique, and people are excited about that opportunity. We really focus a lot on things that are related to group travel. I was telling someone the other day, traditional group travel is always there, and we do a lot of it with church groups and school groups. But the things that are most fun now are the new types of group travel. We're doing a trip right now for a group of guys who are going out to Vegas for March Madness. And we've been putting the trip together with them for several weeks, you know, and it's exciting.
Yeah.
They're going to be in the hub, if you will, of where, you know,
gambling central
of all of that activity is going
March
to go on.
Madness. That's right.
So, but that's
it's
not
the mecca.
It's not something you would think about traditional group travel. We do destination weddings. That is a traditional activity that we do. Now, a new twist on that is we're doing destination anniversary celebrations, where people are renewing their vows. It's a big anniversary, and actually, you know, they want to get everybody there to celebrate with them. And so those are some unique things that are going on. We do family reunions. But what's interesting is, you know, there's family reunions that are not just at the state park, or they're not just at, you know, a conference hotel. They're on cruises. They're actually part of a tour. There's lots of ways that you can take a group and you can figure out what to do with that group and what is unique. And you know, girlfriends trips to, you know, New York for theater or for the spa or whatever it is. I mean, there are all types of group travel trips are out there. And where we come in play is that we know how to negotiate with the suppliers for those group trips. We also know which suppliers, meaning which hotel company, which cruise company, which safari operator. We know which ones to use, and we know which ones, whether or not they have a fancy website. That really is not what we're concerned about.
Right.
What we're concerned about is their credibility, their reputation. Are they bonded? Are they reliable? When we make a deposit for the supplier, is it somebody who we know that they're going to fulfill the product at the end of the day? And so the 21st century travel agency, in my opinion, is that knowledge source for being able to go to that person and say, you know, I see a lot of things out on the internet that I want to do, but I don't know about them. I don't know about their product. I don't know about the destination. I need help. And
right.
That's really where we come and play.
You know, it's interesting. I'm one of those people that do not like to travel. I really don't like wasting time. I love experiencing things. That's very cool, and that's all fun. But you know, if I was trying to put a trip together, and it sounds like it's these small groups are really a nice little niche.
They are.
What kind of size are you talking about?
It depends on for trying to get a reduced rate on the hotel, they generally want to have 10 rooms or more.
Okay.
If you're trying to get a reduced rate on a cruise, generally you're looking at 10 cabins, so that could be 20 people. So it varies by supplier type and by the actual supplier. If it's a luxury cruise line, 5 cabins. It really does vary. But you know, and not everyone is interested in
Do discounts drive? I mean, discounts aren't really my deal. The thing that is, I'm like, I don't know where to go or what to experience. Send me to Greece, and I'm like, has some beaches, I think, that's there. But I don't even know what to go look at.
She probably doesn't go to Priceline to buy her ticket.
Probably not.
No. I mean, the thing I would say to you, the discounts are not the motivating factor. What is the motivating factor is the fact that you could be with friends or be with family or whomever, and you will have amenities, is what we like to call it. You will have things in trip that are going to be special. Whether that's, if you're on a group cruise, it's a spa treatment, or it's a special dinner arranged just for your group in a specialty restaurant.
Experiences.
It's experiences.
Memories. Because that's why people travel, right?
Exactly.
It's like you said, you're 7 years old, you have memories of what you did.
Right.
So that's why people go to travel, because they want to be able to come back and remember what good
they
times
do.
They had.
And, what's funny, and another fun part of our business right now is what I call, and I've got to figure out a way to market this effectively, but it's called the bucket list group. Okay. And it's a group of couples who are working their bucket list.
Yeah.
And it's very fun. I mean, it's great if you have that group of friends that, every year or maybe every other year, depending on where everybody is, everybody makes the commitment that in April or in September, whatever it is, we're working the bucket list, and we're crossing some things off, and it's fun. And so the memories are there, the bragging rights are there, which is that's part of it. It's
so
great.
So if I was starting to do this, let's say I had a group of college guys I wanted to get together, and we didn't even know where to go,
right?
And I said, like, I got 20 guys, we want to go someplace. How would it start? What would happen?
Well, basically, what we would do is somebody does need to be the leader, and so we have a difficult time having a chat with 20 people. Although we do have a conference call line.
Just
if necessary. If necessary,
you could bring them all here on radio.
There we
we'll
go.
Just fill the studio.
There we go.
Just do it all at once.
That would be great. Yeah, we really do like to have a leader. Having said that, we have put many groups together without a true, I would say, one person. In some cases, it's ended up being two or three people. But at the end of the day, you need someone to kind of stand up and say, okay, here are things that we're interested in. Here are areas that we're thinking about.
Gotcha.
And then we start what we do, and we come back with ideas and suggestions, and then from there. And generally, on a group trip, it's usually no less than 4 planning sessions. And I say that and those could be as short as a quick telephone call.
Right.
I mean, but they're important, because it's all of those paths along the way that tell us, okay, this is out, this is in, this is where we're looking next, and so on and so forth. Because our time is valuable, and we want to make sure that we're using the best use of our time to focus in on the area and the suppliers that can provide the correct product.
Right.
So we really do try to try not to get involved when folks don't look like they're going to have a true couple of people that are going to step up and be leaders. It's just too hard.
Yeah, it's impossible. It's like herding cats.
Yeah.
You just can't really do it.
Yeah.
So how is it that you get paid? How do you get compensated for this stuff?
Very good. And we get compensated in two ways. If we put together a very extensive, in a group category, if we put together a very extensive what I call independent trip, where we've done a lot of the legwork. We've actually contracted with a lot of the local companies. Then we do charge a fee for that. It's relative, though. It's certainly not anything that is and split across several people. It's certainly not something to, you know, be concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, if we're not doing that level of work, providing, you know, that level of itinerary involvement, then we're paid by the supplier.
Mm.
And we work with suppliers who we have contracts with and who we also know are reliable companies. We do run up against folks who've found some suppliers that we don't currently do business with. For instance, we had a group going to the Galapagos, and they had found a very unique company that had a very unique product in the Galapagos, and it wasn't somebody who we did business with. And we really worked very hard to get a contract with that company, and it worked out fine, but that type of thing is unusual. We usually, in almost every area of the world, we have suppliers who we know are suppliers that are good to work with and who, you know, will deliver the product that is being positioned. But, you know, we're always open to find new things. And, you know, in this particular instance, the product turned out to be very good. And I was delighted that we've made a new partnership.
Now, there's something that hasn't even been mentioned. And it's the one thing that whenever somebody's thinking of travel agent, right, they always think of this, which is flights.
Yes.
Right? Airlines. Do you deal with even do you even
we
deal
do,
with that?
We do airline ticketing. The agency is bonded, and we carry all of the Airline Reporting Corporation requirements, and we certainly do airline ticketing. We charge a fee for it, and it's not something that we're jumping over the hoops to do. Having said that, we always do them. We always provide that service as part of our group travel activity. We actually, a portion of our business that I haven't gone into yet is church groups, and we have two agents who are phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal at getting missionary air price ticket pricing.
Really?
And so it's a real niche positioning. It's hard work, and you know, when you have agents who are good at it, you really do focus on it because it's a unique skill set. But that is something that we provide, particularly for our church group activities. We'll provide it on any group activity. But if someone just calls us out of the blue and says, you know, I want to buy an airline ticket to San Francisco, we do usually do the right thing and say, you know what, I mean,
go online.
We're so happy to help you, but, you know, we're going to end up charging you a service fee, and you could do it online. If you have a credit card, you could do it online without any difficulty. So we encourage them to do that. But, you know, again, we do it all.
Yeah. How in your vantage point has travel changed? There's two main events that I've kind of seen in the last 20 years. 9/11 clearly was a pretty big event. And then 08, you know, and the 9/11 kind of was within that recession that we had in the early 2000s. And then we had 2008, which was an abomination in terms of from a financial standpoint. How did those impact travel in general, and how did they impact your business?
Well, obviously, 9/11 impacted everything, and it impacted both corporate and leisure travel. And I say that specifically because I was involved in my work then in a research position. I headed up marketing for a technology company to travel industry. And so I was involved in a lot of that work. And it was, you know, it was a watershed time, obviously. Travel stopped for all intents and purposes, both corporate and leisure. With 2008, interestingly enough, leisure travel went on.
Really?
Now, discretionary income was less.
Yeah.
But people were, they bought down, but they still went.
Okay, so they weren't doing the luxury trips.
Correct.
But they were still traveling.
Correct. And my business in 2008 and 9 was, you know, the transactions were up. The dollar amount was down, but the transactions were up. So we had more customers coming to us to do things. They just weren't buying as high of end of product, you know, as they had before. So, you know, we have, I won't say their names, but we have a couple of, you know, several couples who take some very, very nice vacations. You know, very, very lovely, lovely trips. And instead of doing three a year, they ended up doing one. And that's certainly, you know, that was kind of the pattern that we saw. We saw folks who ended up, you know, doing a lot of school-type trips, activities with their school friends. And in fact, last year, our spring break vacation business was huge, and even was much stronger even than this year's. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. We just had a ton of spring break group trips last year, cruising. In particular, we have an area of our business we call school break vacations. So we do focus on it, and we have parents with their children's friends going on cruises together. Yeah. So, and that's huge. And trying to figure out how the cruise lines really, really want an agent involved in that activity, because there's lots of requirements that they have on where the cabins are in relation to the chaperones, so on and so forth. Hmm. So,
a lot of the business you're doing is groups. What about individuals? Do you have people that come to you and say, look, I my wife and I want to go take
Absolutely.
A trip to whatever? And
Absolutely. I'd say 50% of our business, well, I know for a fact that over 50% of our business is still individual. On a transactional level, of course, the group business, the total volume of that does create, you know, a difference. So from a transaction perspective, we have more than 50% of our business is individual. And from a volume total dollar spend, group business would be much higher. Having said all that, it's definitely something that, you know, many of our agents are very, very good at. They've done it for many, many years, and they're very talented in putting individual vacations together for folks, you know. And it just it's all over the place of what they of the types of things they can do, you know, and how much involvement the folks want from the travel supplier and how little, you know. Right. And so that's what's neat.
And how has business have things gone back to where they were?
Not yet.
Not yet.
But you know, it's our first quarter. You know, I just closed the books for February, and was quite pleased with February. And January started out just a little slow, but we picked up in the mid part of January, and we've been quite pleased. The agents are very busy. They're doing lots of good work, and you know, I think we're gonna have a really good summer and fall, which is an interesting thing, because usually our you know, the intensity of our activity is usually in the springtime. So it'll be good. They're working hard, and I think there's going to be a lot of things booking in the summer and fall. A lot of Alaska this year.
Really?
It's
because everything's warming up, so it's not as cold.
You know, it's interesting. It goes in. Alaska is a very cyclical thing. It's an interesting. I love Alaska, and you know, just can't wait to get back there. I actually want to. I've done the cruise, and now I want to do an actual tour where I land, you know, in Anchorage, and then you know, from there to go out and really experience Alaska. The cruise is fantastic and such a great way to start. But for me personally, now I'm ready to get in it.
You've seen Sarah Palin's show, maybe.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's probably true. That's probably true. But I also I'm a person who also loves the parks. And an area business that I hope to be able to launch in the future is a real focus on the national parks. I am a national park junkie. I think everyone should go to all of our national parks, the major ones, the Grand Canyon, Yellowstone, you know, all of those that really where you just, you, in my opinion, you just realize how small you are.
Yeah.
And it just gives you a great perspective of what really this great creation of Earth is. And so I'm a national park junkie, and so that's probably why I'm, you know, the cruise gave me a little bit of taste of Alaska, but now I'm ready to go down, ready to get into Denali and go for it.
What's the most memorable experience that you've had at the national parks?
Well, you know, I had the great opportunity when I was went to Grand Canyon to be able to go down and get all the way down to the river and, you know, and stay and, you know, experience the Grand Canyon. A lot of people, you know, you really have to be physically fit and ready for that work. There are ways to get down to the bottom with less physical activity.
Donkey.
I wasn't gonna say it, but yeah.
Ass?
Yes, you can ride down. You can.
I mean, can you walk, or do you have to ride on a donkey?
You actually can walk, and the thing that's great about it though is you do have to spend the night now. It used to be. For those who could prove that they were able to do, and there are people who still have, I think,
hike in, hike out type things.
Yeah. But now they've gotten pretty strict with it, and I think that's the right decision. You need to camp overnight, and you have to make reservations. It's because they have only a few lodges down at the bottom that can. And they're, when I say lodge, I'm talking about a bunk bed. That is available for your use.
Not the Ritz.
It's not the El Torvar. Although the El Torvar is lovely, and I don't even know
what that is. But.
It's the old classic hotel that is right there on the rim, and so if you drive, I'll tell you one of my favorite trips for the parks, and this has got a bit of, you know, not so much rustic but some fun. You fly into Phoenix. And you stay in Scottsdale for a couple of nights, which is not a bad situation at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe hit up a spa. Then you travel to Sedona, which is about an hour and a half away, 2 hours. Stay overnight, do some very amazing Jeep tours throughout Sedona. Unbelievable, just mystical, really, Sedona and the Red Rocks. Then you leave Sedona and you head over to the Grand Canyon, and from there you would stay around the rim and then decide whether or not you're going to do what I'm talking about, which is
hike in,
spend the night on the bottom, experience, you know, maybe do some, you know, a lot of people do then hike trips for 4 or 5 days on the bottom, where you really can raft and do a lot of really cool stuff.
You have to carry your own gear?
You do.
Somebody carry it for you.
So you do have to be able to carry a certain amount of gear.
Oh, my.
With a lot of these.
Alan, that's all you.
It, you know, 15, 20 years ago?
Yeah? I'd be all over it.
I'll tell you what. When I went on a trip, it always had a tent attached to wherever I was going.
See, oh, that's great.
But not now.
Not now. I know. We do grow up. Oh, darn it. But, yeah. You know, so for that trip, you can do a lot of different things while you're down at the bottom. And then you have to come back up. And honestly, that's when the donkey is very enticing.
They don't have a cable car like going down Stone Mountain, you know?
Because your muscles have, you know, basically, you know, going down. Interestingly enough, going down, and I know for any of you all who are hikers, the jarring that you put on your knees and your, you know, the muscles in your upper leg is very different from any other muscle type that you use. You don't know that until the next day.
It happens. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And 2 days is even worse, right? The second day, you're like, you better get up there before the second day, or you're going to be crippled.
Exactly.
Down there.
Yeah, I ran a half marathon, and I experienced the same sort of thing. And
yeah.
The next day, I just couldn't walk.
Exactly. Exactly.
I ran the whole thing, 13 miles, and I was fine. And then I woke up the next day, and it's like, donk.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's unbelievable. You're down at the bottom, and you're looking up, and you're saying, I don't know if I can do it.
Donkey, please. Burrow.
But it's awe-inspiring, and it's you know, the Grand Canyon is, you know, as all of the national parks, in my opinion, it was a great thing that we did as a country, and I'm very proud of it. And as I go and I see more of them, one of my bucket list items, I've got to get to Mount Rushmore. I definitely want to do it, and I just continue to say, gosh, you know, I am proud to be an American for some of the things that we have done right, and we've just, and the national parks are that, you know.
So I want to go back to that itinerary that you were on. Just about how much would something like that cost?
Yeah, and that's great to ask because, you know, really that trip is not that expensive. So if you get your, you know, factor in your airfare from Atlanta, AirTran has some great rates. Delta does too into Phoenix. You know, your hotel in Scottsdale could be as inexpensive as, you know, $100 a night. Mm-hmm. And from there, then the state park lodges, you have to reserve early. But they generally are around $125 a night. Mm-hmm. So not bad. Then it depends on what you want to do. It's, you know, if you want to go on this hiking adventure down at the bottom, then that's going to run probably $200 a person a day.
So we're talking a couple thousand dollars a person?
Yeah. I mean, really not bad, though, when you consider
what you're seeing.
What you're seeing, yeah. Which is...
Does that include you?
That includes us doing it. Yeah, wow. That includes us doing it. So we do a lot of things like that where we put things together for folks. You know, it's... and a lot of it we've done ourselves. So we know... I was just listening to one of our agents on the phone the other day. She was talking to a client who's going to be using the driver that she uses in the Italian Lakes region. So the lake, you know, the Lakes region of Italy. And, you know, she's just saying, I'm going to talk to the driver about it. And we'll make sure that everything. And you know what's interesting about that is he is not that expensive. And really, in the scheme of things, he's going to get you places and take you places that if you did even a traditional tour, you probably would be paying more. So there's so very interesting kind of ways that we know things that, that can be of real value to our clients.
Yeah. So do you – oh, I'm sorry, John. Do you,
No, go ahead.
You work with locals. Like I took a trip to Israel. You know, this is also 15 years ago.
Yes.
And I was a little more adventurous. And my father-in-law at the time, he hired somebody to tour us around. Now, that guy, he knew where we could go, where we couldn't go.
Exactly
what to see. Is that, I mean, do you have people on site there? Because if I just went there, there's no way that I could go to all the places that I went to without having somebody in there.
Exactly. Well, we have relationships with, they're called destination management companies.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long word of saying, those are people throughout the world who we know are do a very good job and are reputable. And we keep up with that activity through an organization that we're involved with called Travel Leaders. And Travel Leaders is, you know, kind of an overall marketing and buying consortium, if you will, for travel agencies. And so when you belong to their organization, they are out contracting with a lot of these folks to really make sure that these are quality people, this is good stuff. You know, and so to your point, there are literally operators.
People on the ground.
People on the ground who we can connect you with, who you will be delighted with. You know, I was in Cairo for business when I was with WorldSpan. And I wanted to make sure that I had an opportunity to see the pyramids. And my business meetings were unbelievably long. I was totally caught off guard culturally with what to expect.
Yeah, were you required to wear a headscarf and all
stuff? No. But what was interesting is we would take a break and then we'd come back and literally would go till 9 o'clock at night. And so I was just like, oh, I'm starting to get very, very frustrated because I'm going to see the pyramids while I'm here. And so I did get with our travel agency and I was able to get a person on the ground and he picked me up. I literally told them our negotiations are complete for today. I am taking the rest of the day. And actually, I think it helped my negotiations.
Right.
Kind of busting it open a little bit and saying, I'm not going to be here for the afternoon.
Put them in their place.
I'm taking off. And I had such a great, you know what he did? He took me to the pyramids. But beyond that, he also took me to the open air market, which I can't even describe for you what that experience was like. It's like nothing else I've been involved with, and just really amazing, and so opened my eyes, amazed at all of the ways that people do their business throughout the world. And then he took me to his home. Oh, and his
wow.
wife and his wife oh, made nice. Dinner for us.
Very
nice. Look at that.
And so, my view
yeah.
of that whole, you know, afternoon evening was it was so fulfilling that he would have the generosity to want me to bring me into his home and meet his family and have his wife cook a traditional Egyptian dinner. And
wow.
then I went back into the business meetings the next day, and we concluded.
You finished it up.
Yeah, that's got to be an unstable place right this moment, because
yes.
there's no leader
yes.
except the military.
Yes.
But
that's
wow, that's incredible.
So,
yeah.
Cheryl, when you look at your business, obviously there's lots of competition out there, lots of people out there.
There are, but...
How do you segregate? How do you separate yourself? Why are you different than other travel organizations?
You know, I don't like to say that we compete against our own other travel agencies. What I think is interesting is that it actually is a market that is huge that... most of us are not tapping. And that is actually very frustrating to me, and one that I really want to make a difference and try to elevate, if you will, what we do. You know, travel agencies had in the past been order takers, and they didn't have people who were well-traveled, who were manning the phones and doing the activity, because a lot of it was corporate activity. And honestly, if you knew how to use a computer system, you didn't have to be that knowledgeable in putting together corporate trips. We're just such in a different space that I'm trying to say, I'm not worried about competing against, although there's very few, unfortunately, on my street in Marietta. I'm not interested in competing against them. There is more than enough business for all of us. Mm. If we have what people want, and if people want knowledge of what to do and where to go and what product to use, then we're going to get business. If we don't, then you know, we shouldn't get business. And so my view is not so worried about what my competition is doing. I'm not so worried about the internet. I think the internet is great. I mean, I personally, you know, when I worked at WorldSpan, was part of the team that actually made sure that the reservations platform that we were selling to travel agencies had an ability for them to access the internet at the same time.
Right.
And that was really very, very controversial.
Taboo, yeah.
Very controversial within our own company. But what we said was, you know what? This is the right thing. We need to arm our travel agencies with the ability to have the most information. And if information is power, that's kind of my fundamental belief. Information
yeah.
is power.
So are you tweeting and Facebooking and
you
all that?
You know what? It's interesting. I am not. And you know, I've actually had some really good healthy debates about all of this. I am not. And the reason why is twofold. I'm concerned with some of the platform aspects of that type of freewheeling, if you will, environment. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that what we do with our clients is so phenomenal and so special that I don't necessarily want to... commercialize it. And mm-hmm. you know, I don't know how to say it in a way that makes it any different. I personally don't think I'm that interesting to follow, but some people have thought I might be. But I truly don't think I am. So, you know, the whole point is, I think if we did get into those arenas, which has been, you know, been encouraged to do so, it would be with people who are leading groups mm-hmm. and who are actually in trip. I would be okay with that type of tweeting activity and that kind of social aspect, but I'm really not interested in all of my agents spending their time, or me
right.
personally spending their time saying, you know, just talk to this cruise line and
this is available.
This is available.
Right.
Do you know, honestly, there's so many specials. Literally, I can tell you, and I can show you my iPhone, I get no less than 150 travel special emails a day.
Right.
Literally, no less. Hmm. There are so many opportunities out there for whatever. It is overwhelming. So what I say is, let us mine that for you. Let us figure out what is the right product. What is it that you want to do? What is it that's special? What is it that's unique? And what is it that you want to do? And if there's a special that fits into that, it's going to be great. If it's not, it's going to work out. It's still going right. to be a fabulous trip.
So you don't go out and buy blocks of rooms in an awesome deal and then bring it to your website and say, oh, look at what we bought. Do you want to go?
Yeah, no, I don't. But the company, the Travel Leaders Organization that I mentioned that we're a part of, has all of that. Mm-hmm. So actually, we do have opportunity to book people into for preferred blocks on cruise lines and hotel space and to a lesser extent, tour product. But we have the advantage of having all of that available to us. But I don't find it relevant to go mm-hmm. out and ping people, you know, many, many times a day or many, many times a week. I just don't think it's relevant. I personally don't find it relevant that I'm getting 150 travel specials emails because I own a travel agency. It irritates me, but the fact of the matter is that's the role that I'm in, right. and I need to be able to go through that and figure out what's useful and what's not, and that's what we do. But to do that to our customer base or to our prospect base, I don't think it's a winning proposition of getting new business. I don't. I think you're going to prove your value with the types of things that you can do and referrals. And honestly, our business has grown so much in the last year from referral business, just because a lot of the group activity then becomes individual activity,
right?
Which is key.
So is that your marketing, or do you do outside marketing? Or
we do.
You don't put a billboard up with a cruise ship and say, "Call us."
No, we don't. But we do have we have done some local marketing in the Marietta area. And, you know, we do traditional marketing. We have our website, and we have an email database that I have people who've said, yes, I want to receive information, and we try not to abuse that mm-hmm. With activity. And so we do, you know, we do have that type of thing going on, but, you know, we're really not focused on taking a billboard out, although I love that concept. I mean, there's certainly a lot of fun in that of taking a billboard out. But you're kind of your shotgun approach, and you're
going to the masses. It's not so targeted to the
right.
people that are really going to be looking for this kind of a
right,
service.
Right.
So, if just in kind of wrapping things
sure.
up, if you were talking to and maybe stepping away even from the travel side, just
uh-huh.
people that are in business, executives, maybe they own their own company, maybe they're a C-level executive. What kind of pearls of wisdom, maybe one that you could pick out that you would say, you know, these are the kinds of things that I really think of, that I've seen make people successful or really add to the value of their life? What would you say that would be?
Well, I guess my pearls of wisdom would definitely be invest in your staff, invest in the people who make the work happen. And the best thing for me buying this travel agency that I bought, I did do a lot of due diligence. I did know the type of folks that they had on their team. And really that was really the key. The customer base is great, and certainly you're acquiring a business to acquire a certain level of customer base. But once you come into that, really understanding how you can empower that staff to really go for it and take their business to the next level, to me, that's the pearl, because they are the talent.
Right.
And you know, I don't want to ever lose sight of that. They're the talent. They keep the telephone ringing, and what they do and what they know is the reason that you're in business. And you know, I've come in and put some programs together that have really motivated them and charged them up, and have made them feel like they're really a part of the team, and they're excited. They're excited, and they're their production is showing it. And that's great for them because they're making more money, and it's all good. My, you know, other side of the business is, you know, I work half of my day keeping the talent happy and the other half of my day in keeping expenses low. So, you know, like any small business owner, I have a very split personality. And on the one hand, I'm negotiating a new lease and trying to, you know, play that role. And on the other hand, I'm having a client come in the office and saying, can I get you tea? And, you know, so on and so forth.
All the hats. You're wearing all the hats. Well, I think Nadia back in my office just had a big smile on her face listening to this show going, yeah, she said it. I knew it. Now John will finally appreciate us.
Yes. Well, you know.
Starbucks in the office for all.
That's
yeah.
right.
No, you know, that they are the reason that you enjoy your livelihood. And if you lose sight of that, to me, that's really
good.
Not the way.
Good stuff. So, Cheryl, if somebody has a travel bug and they want to get in contact with you, how do they reach you?
Yeah, there are several ways, but I would encourage you to go to our website, www.travelcruiseprofessionals.com, or you can call us at 1-800-727-7601, or you can contact me directly. The best way to reach me is through our informational email, which is info@tcptravelcruiseprofessionals.webmail.com.
All right. Well, we have really enjoyed
much.
Having you on.
Enjoyed
it was
it.
A great session. We appreciate you having taking the time
go
out.
Go travel.
I will. You know what?
I'm going to have to work on you.
I know.
You're going to have to work on me.
It can be.
You don't have to go way far away. You can do some stuff here in the United States.
Can we
States.
Go to Echelon on a budget?
I know.
Big Sur. Have you heard of that place?
Yeah. You can't.
There's not much of a budget. I think you have to pretty much.
I'm gonna be really honest with you on that. It's so funny. Just one last story. Yeah. My son got married, and in December, and of course, you know, he was coming to his mom, the travel agent, for his honeymoon, and he said, "Now, Mom, I've got a week off, and I want to go here," and he's showing me a website of Tahiti. And, you know, one of the bungalows over the ocean. And I said, well, you know what? That would be so fun. Now, let me just explain to you how enjoyable that's going to be, because you're going to get married in Atlanta, and then you're going to get on an overseas flight that's going to take you through L.A. Then you're going to go getting to Tahiti is
not easy.
This is
like
a journey.
Worse than Australia.
This is a journey, my friend, okay? You're going to get to your bungalow a day and a half later, and you're going to be so exhausted, okay? Just putting it in relative terms, you're going to be so exhausted, you're going to sleep off the first 2 days because you really aren't going to, you're not going to know what time you're in. You're going to be waking up all different times. And then you will have a day and a half, maybe two, to enjoy Tahiti, and then you're back. You're getting back on the flight. Yeah. I mean, you can't do Tahiti in a week.
How about the Bahamas?
You can't do Tahiti in a week. He went to St. Lucia.
Yeah, St. Lucia. That's where I went.
Mom got him a great, beautiful one of those open air, open to the mountainside there in St. Lucia. Just gorgeous. So
St. Lucia, and hats off to St. Lucia. Some of those gorgeous people I've ever seen in my life.
So wonderful.
Just
so wonderful.
Well, it's been an awesome time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I will look forward to having you back in.
Would love it. Would love it.
So until next week, be safe.
Thanks.
John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA. SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation.